We're so glad you're here today. You glad to be here today? Yes. Oh, blessings on you today. I know some of you are praying for that air conditioner back there, aren't you? Won't you know it's cooler up front than it is in the back. So these are the prime seats. Excuse me, Don. These are the prime seats. I'm backing over everybody. I need to put a beeper on them before they'll know when I'm backing up. We're glad you're here. Thank you to all of you that have participated in a lot of hard work, a lot, as Dane said it, blood, sweat, tears, the whole bit. And, you know, somebody asked me, I've told this to so many of you, but I want to say it again today. I praise the Lord for what He's done as He brought the Tabernacle Church and us together. It's just like that story in Acts with Cornelius and Peter, Simon Peter. Both, God working in both and bringing them together for such a time as this. And as the church that met here just led of the Lord gave us all of this. And it's just a blessing from God. And we praise the Lord. And if people ask you, say, so y'all own that now? No, we don't own it. We're just the next stewards of what God owns. Right? That's what Brother Bob told me. He said, we don't own it, Dusty. it belongs to the Lord, and we praise Him. We praise Him for that. Here's a good way to explain it. Because you know God answered a great prayer for us. At school, and all we were going haggling back and forth with the school board and all that was going on with that for months. And then He told us just to pray. Just to pray. How about that? Just to pray. To pray. And 5 days later, we get a phone call. Now, that's God working pretty well. If you have your Bible, if you turn with me, 1 Kings chapter 9. And as you turn there, let me introduce this message to you today. We're going to get back to 1 Peter. We're almost through 1 Peter. For those of you who are our guests, we've been in 1 Peter since January and have taken our time going through, and the Lord has spoken to us in a lot of ways through 1 Peter. But last week and this week, I just felt the urging, the prompting of the Holy Spirit to change that. And today we're going to be in a passage about Solomon. When God appears to him for the second time. Now, let me explain to you who Solomon was. He's David's child. King David, great King David that we read about, the great stories. God would not allow David to build the temple. He passed that on. That was a job for Solomon. It was during Solomon's reign, he was the last king that presided over a united Israel. Because at his death, it divided. And there was a split with a northern and a southern kingdom. But these were the golden years for Israel. Their borders were stretched farther than they had ever been. There was blessing, there was financial blessing, there was spiritual blessing. And God allowed him to build the temple. Now, they had been in a tabernacle. They'd been in a moving place. We're going to talk about that some more. But I don't think it, as a sidelight here, that's lost on God that the name of the church that met here in this place was called Tabernacle. Tabernacle. That temporary meeting place, that move-about place, that fits us to a T. that fits who we are and where we have been and how God has moved through us and has used us. But this was the time in which, for Solomon, they built the temple. And it was the first temple. And God was speaking some very specific things to him. And I want you to follow along with these verses from 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. So Solomon finished building the temple of the Lord as well as the royal palace. He completed everything he planned to do. And then the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he had done before at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, "I've heard your prayer and your petition. I've set this temple apart to be holy, this place you have built where my name will be honored forever. I'll always watch over it, for it's dear to my heart. As for you, if you follow me with integrity and godliness, as David your father did, obeying all my commands, decrees, regulations, then I will establish the throne of your dynasty over Israel forever. For I made this promise to your father David. One of your descendants will always sit on the throne of Israel. But if you or your descendants abandon me and disobey the commands and decrees I've given to you, if you serve and worship other gods, then I will uproot Israel from this land now that I've given them. I'll reject this temple I've made holy to honor my name. I'll make Israel an object of mockery and ridicule among the nations. And though this temple is impressive now, all who pass by will be appalled and will shake their heads in amazement. They will ask, why did the Lord do such terrible things to this land? And the answer will be because the people abandoned the Lord their God who brought their ancestors out of Egypt. And they worshiped other gods instead and bowed down to them. That is why the Lord has brought all these disasters on them. I want to ask you, those of you who are familiar with the history of Israel, did God fulfill those words? He sure did. He did exactly as he said. But let's look back at this passage. There are four things I want to say to you today. I feel like God's put on my heart. As the title of this message is Let God Speak. Let Him speak to you. There's nothing today that's more important than you letting God speak to you. He wants to speak to you personally. He has a word for you. He has a plan for your life. He has great things in store for you, but you've got to let Him speak. Let Him say what He wants to say to you. And that takes time. It's not always easy. It's not always what you want to hear, is it? Anybody? It's not always the thing you want to hear. Sometimes it's a very difficult thing that He brings and says to you. But He says it to you out of His love, because He loves you. Well, let me say that at the outset. As I ask you today to open your heart and let God speak to you, He's never going to say anything to you that's not in your best interest. Never. Because He's God. He struck you in His own image. He has a plan for your life. He knows who you are. With all of your idiosyncrasies, with all the specialities that make up you, He has created you for such a time as this. And He's let you live at this time in history. Imagine that. This time in history. We say that again and again and again. For such a time as this, it was our theme verse for last year. God has let us live at this time with all the things that are going on in the world, all the things that are going on in our country, all the things that are going on around us, and the economy and everything else. God's brought us this time, this place, with His good news. And it's still good news, isn't it? In fact, today, there's no better news out there. All right, first point. We saw with Solomon, God will appear to you. God came to Solomon. He'll come to you. He'll come to you specially and speak His word to you. The only question is, will we listen? We listen. Hear me on this. It's not like we're waiting on God to speak. God's already speaking. That's not the question. The question is not, will God speak? God's already speaking. The question is, Am I listening? And some of you are saying, well, God can make me listen. Well, He could burn you in your tracks too. He could strike a lightning bolt and you'd just be a burnt spot in the pavement. You know, He could do that. But He loves you. And He's created you to make your own choices. One of the prerogatives of God that He has given to us is choice. We can choose. We can choose. All of us can choose. And by the way, some of you that are still making choices based on your past, it's time to get over it. It's time to let God reconcile the past. Let God deal with the past, deal with you. Bring healing and reconciliation in your life so that you can get on with living today and for the future. He has a plan, clear and plain, and He wants to speak. God will appear to you. He'll come and speak to you. It's just getting enough of the stuff out of the way so you can hear His voice. Secondly, God will hear everything that you have to say. Let me ask you, reading that passage and knowing the story of Solomon, did God hear everything that Solomon had to say? All of his requests? You bet. The Scripture said it. Heard everything. Heard the whole deal. The whole story. He'll hear your story. He'll hear you. You say, well, God really doesn't want to listen to me. I've shared this story with some of y'all. I picked up several of our children in the church one day from school. And two of the six knuckleheads that I had in my car, they were all boys, that I had in my truck were the Paschalskas boys. They just had two of them that day. And Logan was in there, I think Zach Rentz, the Paschalskas, I don't know who, it seemed like a dozen, maybe it was just five. But the minute they got in there in my truck, it was like back and forth. Everybody was talking. They were talking back and forth. And Joshua was sitting right in the middle. He sat up in his seat. He said, y'all stop talking so I can talk. Do you think you have to say that to God? He listens to your heart. Do you know that you don't even have to get in the right language? That He hears your heart? Now you stumble and fumble over words that you try to say to a loved one and you won't put it in a language they can understand. But you just can't seem to get it out. And you say, well, if I could just rip open my heart and let you look at it, you'd know how I was feeling today. You'd know what I wanted to say to you. You ever feel like that? Well, see, God can read that. He reads your mail. In fact, He knows your mail before you ever get it. Because He's God, and He's sovereign, and He loves you. He loves you very much. He'll hear everything you have to say. Now, I want you to know, He'll also hear the stuff that isn't too religious that you want to tell Him. Are you there with me? Now, my place that I like to, you know, there's a chair. I've got a couple of rocking chairs out on my front porch. I get out there sometime, and I'll just rock in that chair, and I'll just have it out with God. There's some things that I just, And then I usually have to ask forgiveness for some more. But I can get it off of my chest. I can be honest with Him, with how I feel. Now, does that mean God didn't already know how I felt? No, He already knew that. But I didn't know that until I shared it with Him. All right, number three. God will confirm your prayer. You know how He confirms your prayer? Because He comes and intervenes in your life and He answers your prayer. You need a place for people to worship. And he intervenes and he comes and answers your prayer. You're sick and you've been to the doctors. You don't know what to do. And God comes and intervenes and he heals you. You've lost your job and you don't know which way you're going to go. And you pray and you God hears everything you have to say. And then he intervenes and he confirms your prayer by his answer. Now all those were answers, yes, right? We like the answer, yes. But sometimes his confirmation of answer to your prayer is wham! When that door shuts. And you say, ooh, man, I better get my fingers out of the door jam because it's shutting. There's some of you probably right now that are praying about something in your life that God's about to shut the door on it. You need to get your fingers out of the door jam. Because, see, hearing from God can be yes. Confirmation. No. Confirmation. And what's the other one? Which one do you struggle with the most? Wait on the Lord and be patient, and verily thou shalt be fed. How many passages of Scripture are about waiting? God, if you just tell me right now, just tell me right now. I want to know right now. Right now. And see, and in that, many times the prayer isn't even about, the process of prayer isn't even about what you're praying about. It's about God transforming you and me into His image, and He's using that situation in your life to do it. To fashion you into the person that He wants you to be. Finally. God will be with you as long as you let Him. Now, the corollary to that is He's standing right there always, but we're not acknowledging His presence. Here was the warning for Solomon. And you heard there was a large portion of that passage we read in those 9 verses that was warning. And what was the warning? Do not reject me. Because what happens when you reject God? Hang in here with me. When you reject God, you move out from under His what? His cover, His protection. And what happens when you move out from under the protection? All kind of stuff can fall on your head. And you then can become a target. A target. God wants us to stay under His protection. You know, a simple thing. We say it to our young people. In teaching about sex. God designed sex for marriage. Can you see all the multiple ways in our society where we have moved out from under the cover of God's truth? We've moved out from under it, and what happened? All kinds of stuff. No protection. God doesn't honor that. He honors His truth. Staying under the protection of His Word, the protection of His people. Just for a moment here to bring this home. What's the first thing when things start to go wrong in our lives that many of us want to do in regard to the body of Christ? What do we want to do? Withdraw. Withdraw. Now, who do you think is speaking the message of withdrawal to you?
the evil one, the world system, our own flesh, that unholy triumvirate, the world, the flesh, and the devil, to get us away so that what can happen? So that our lives can be destroyed. God wants us to stay engaged. What happened to Israel? Oh, these were the golden years. You read in 1 Kings, you say, oh man, the thing God was doing, the blessing that was coming upon Israel, all those things we were doing. And they started making choices. One choice. Didn't make just one big choice. They made little choices. A little smidge here, a little smidge there, a little bit over here. And before you know it, they were saying, we can worship these other gods and the Lord God too. Can you do that? By definition, there's only one. That's why Jesus said, I am the, and the. No one comes to the Father but by me. How are you doing with this part of letting God come and be with you? Now let me put it in our language. Here it is. It means you got to let God get in your business. You know what I'm talking about? Let God get in your business. Now I'm not talking about all this. I love this statement Brother Larry used to make all the time. All this happy horse pucky stuff. That's one of my favorite expressions Brother Larry used to say all the time. This happy horse pucky stuff. Yeah. Anyway, you put on the little plastic grin and everything's right with Jesus and all that stuff, and you're dying by inches underneath. God just wants you to be honest with Him and with other people about who you are. He wants to get involved with you personally where you are. Now, in just a moment, we're going to open the altar. I want you to know, as a congregation, it's our first worship time. This is our first time that we as a congregation officially are going to use this altar. It's the time for you to come and pray. And you know the drill here. Those of you that are new with us today, we don't deal with a lot of manipulation, a lot of hocus-pocus stuff. It's just, here it is. Come and let God minister to you. There are people that are going to be here to pray with you, pastors. Our life group leaders will be around here to pray with you today. Maybe today you need to spend some time here at this altar letting God get in your business. If you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life as your personal Savior, you can do that today simply by asking Him to come into your life. And the Lord Himself will come in. He will forgive you of your sin, and He will transform your life. As a Christian today, maybe it's time to allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill you afresh and anew and to give you all that He wants to give you. Maybe there's some gifts you're desirous of today and want the Spirit of God to come. Let Him immerse you anew in Himself today. The altar. This is your time. Let's pray. Remember the title of the message? Let God speak. Let Him speak right now. Lord, we come to You today and we come with praise on our lips. Honor and glory to You, Jesus. There is no other in all the earth. You're Lord over all. and very Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, we invite you, Spirit, right now, to come upon us. Lord, I'm asking you today, if there is anyone here who's never received Christ, this would be the day, this would be the time, but ask Jesus to come into their life. Lord, I'm asking for a fresh filling of the Spirit of God today. Lord, for us to turn loose of that stuff and let you come and get involved in our business. Because, Lord, it's your business, because we belong to you. Lord, come now. We bless you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. The altar's open.